Find your seat or find somebody else's seat. Don't sit on, but that'd be it. All right. We finally arrive at the end. We're at the end of Acts. almost the end of the year. We'll finish up Acts today. I told Zachary yesterday, I said, this will be the last time you see I kind of dubbed our, it's not even on there. I've dubbed our background with the text and all that as the Subway background. It's green and yellow. It makes me think of the Subway sandwiches or whatever. But today will be the last time you have to see that. So anyway, but we are finishing up the book of Acts. So y'all are long suffering. So question for you this morning, the question of the morning is simply this: what does it take to finish well in my faith? What does it take to finish well? Many people start things, right? We all start projects, New Year's resolutions, goals, things that we want to accomplish, but how many of us actually finish those things, right? Let me remind you, today is the first day of the last month of the year. Are there things in your life and your family's life? Did you set goals in January? I'm going to do this in 2024. Have we accomplished those things? Or, is this a wake-up call to remind us, I got to get busy because I let that slack, or I've put down that project or whatever. You have a month to do that. Good morning. I see you guys back there. It's good to see y'all. Good to see Paulette and Greg back there. Good to see y'all. But what does it take to finish well? And we're going to, I'm asking that, and we're going to look at that this morning through Paul, through his life, as we come to the close of Acts this morning. And I'm specifically asking you that question: what does it take to finish well spiritually in your faith this morning? We can all start projects in the garage, but those are important. But more importantly, church, is how we finish well in our faith, right? It doesn't matter how late in the game we start. It really ultimately matters how we finish, right? Some of us may have come to Christ at an early age of like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, right? And praise the Lord if that was you. Some of you, you may have come to Christ as an adult. Maybe you were in your 20s or your 30s or 40s or even later. I'm looking out and I see some of you that I know, some of you were baptized in your 70s, and that's praise the Lord. It doesn't matter when you started and when you trusted Christ and when you begin to follow him, but it really matters, church, how we finish. Will we finish well, right? I'm not talking about perfection, by the way, because that's off the table. None of us are perfect, but will we strive? Will we continue to push forward no matter what we face, no matter the things that we go through, right? I think we would all know that it takes perseverance, right? And we can say, okay, we know, Pastor John, yeah, that this is the word, we're supposed to persevere, we're supposed to push through, right? But how do you do that? How do you accomplish? How do you get perseverance, right? Is it just something that happens? Or is there something that I can recognize, or something I can, maybe a habit or a practice that I can do to get perseverance? We're going to look at that this morning as well. I see two things when I was reading through these last verses here in Acts. There's two things that come to mind. It takes an attitude for all of us to put on, first of all, church, and it takes an understanding of some of the truths of life that we have to understand. We have to understand how things are and what the Bible teaches. And then we have to take on this attitude. So we're going to look at that this morning through the life of Paul here in his last moments or years, actually, of his life here. We're going to see this, what it takes in Paul's life to finish well. And I think for you and I, if we'll take on these traits and we'll understand these truths, then we too, church, can finish well in our faith. Okay, so let's read the Word of God together. If you're able to stand in honor of God's Word, if you're not, that's all right. But I'm going to start reading in Acts 28, verse 17 here. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me, but because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and to talk to you, and it is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you. None of our brothers who have come there reported anything bad about you. But we want to hear your views and what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against the sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will ever be hearing but never understanding. You will ever be seeing but never perceiving. For the people's heart will become callous. They hardly hear with their ears and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their hearts, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen.' For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there on his own, rented house, welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ." Thank you. You can have a seat. So we arrive at the end. And for you and I this morning, church, many of us, finishing well means a little bit different for each of us, right? Some of us may have just a few years left. Some of us may have decades left. We don't know, right? God never tells us how long we have to live on this earth here, but he does tell us that he wants us to finish well, to stick to it, to be people, Christians, of perseverance. And I think as you look this morning in the text, we'll see these three things. And if we'll understand them, I think it'll help us, no matter how much time we have left, to finish well this morning. So the first thing I want to share with you is number one on your outline on the back of the bulletin there. If you're following along, it says that number one, we are bound because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are bound because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul got to Rome after all the craziness, the shipwreck and everything there, and he was allowed to live by himself under guard, but by himself with some freedom there. He used that freedom to share the gospel with other people, right? We see that. He invited the Jews to come. The Jews here were not believers, not Christian Jews. They were just Jews, and they had not heard, they had a little bit of familiarity. You can see in the text there, it says, we've heard about this sect of Judaism, and people are speaking against it, right? And look at verse 20 there. It says, "For this reason," Paul says, "I have asked to see you and to talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." Probably maybe you lifted up the chain and showed it to him right there. But it is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain. You know, Paul understood, church, where his chains came from. It was because of Jesus Christ, the hope of Israel, that he was in chains. And for you and I, church, this is the first, I guess, truth that we need to understand, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we are also bound with a chain. Now, it might not be a physical chain, right? Although there are believers around the world who are bound with chains today, even today in parts of our world, we might not be physically bound, but we are also bound, church, as God's people, bound with the message of the gospel that we're supposed to give out, we are supposed to share. Keep in mind, Jesus told his disciples in John 15, he says, people will hate you because of me, right? We know that our faith in Christ, we're not going to be like, we are going to be bound with a burden, so to speak, to be able to share. Many times in the Gospels, and even in the letters of Paul, even Paul used this verbiage of, he says, Paul, he introduces himself in many of these letters. He says, I am a slave to Christ. He calls himself, even though he's maybe not physically chained at that moment when he's writing these letters to the churches, but he says, Paul, a servant or a slave to Christ. You can see this in Romans, Galatians, Philippians, and Titus. He introduces himself in these letters with that language. We need to understand, church, that we too, even though we're not physically in a jail cell or under house arrest, church, we are bound because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to understand, have a full grip on that, because it will dictate how we live our life, and knowing that, hey, this is not going to be the rainbow, the road that's easy, right? It's easy pick, right, to go. Think about marriage, for example. I was thinking about marriage. Man, the divorce rates today, even amongst Christians, are high, right? Marriage is a huge commitment. And I think, and I know, that when a young couple, when I counsel a young couple that's getting married, doing that this spring again, and talking with them, when I counsel that couple who's getting married for the first time, it's like, look, you have to go into this marriage knowing that this is going to be one of the toughest things that you do as a couple. But guess what? It's not impossible. But you have to go in with the knowledge, knowing that, hey, this is going to be tough. It can be made easier, but it also can be very tough too, right? And it's that mentality that you have to go into, saying, no matter what, we're in it together as a couple, right? That's the attitude. I think if you were to ask many couples that have been married 50, 60, 70 years, whatever it might be, for them to say, you know, hey, what did it take? How did you guys make it the whole time? Knowing, hey, this is going to be tough, but guess what? We're partners for life. We are committed to one another no matter what, right? We're going to work it out. We're going to work through it. And it's that kind of mentality, church, that we need to have in our faith. Hey, it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. There are going to be difficult days. And think and remember, who's writing this? This is Paul and everything that he went through, right? The things that he endured, prison and jail and being beaten and flogged. Paul finished well. He didn't quit. He didn't say, you know what? This is the last beating I'm going to take. I'm done. And walk away. He stayed with it. And it's this knowledge, I think, that we see here, this recognition that, hey, as a Christian, I'm bound by chains, so to speak. I am in this, and I'm going to stick through it. I'm going to go through there. Made me think about, we're in December here, and it made me think about Lottie Moon. Her original name, her real name is Charlotte Diggs Moon, right? Who is Lottie Moon? In December, by the way, we take up a love offering. Any gifts that you want to give, and you mark the offering envelope, and you write Lottie on that, that goes to our Lottie Moon offering, which is our international missions giving. So if you guys want to donate to the Lottie Moon, to international missions, you can write that on your offering envelopes, and the money will be directly sent to our international missions, right? But who is Charlotte Diggs aka Lottie Moon. Well, she was this 4'3", very, very small stature of a woman who was born in Virginia and had a calling on her life to go overseas to minister to the people of China. And she was really credited with starting many mission organizations. She was responsible for bringing thousands of people over on the mission field to minister to the people of China and to that part of the world today. Amazing, amazing story about Lottie Moon. But you see, church, Lottie knew that that was her call. That's what God wanted her to do. And so she did it with all her heart. And no matter the consequences, the tragic end of the story for Lottie, and I don't guess it's that tragic because she was being obedient to God, but Lottie gave her life. She was pleaded with many times for months and months and months. She would give away her food and her money to her own detriment. She would give it away to the people of China just to so that she might have an opportunity to share the love of Christ with them. She began to shrink in her physical stature and got so impoverished that her friends began to plead with her months before she died, you need to come back, you need to get well. She was sick because of her loss of weight and everything. And so she finally agreed to come back and kind of recover from her ultimate giving, right? And on the docks, once she boarded the ship that was going to bring her back to the United States, she passed away. She passed away on Christmas Eve. And so you say, why do we do Lottie Moon on Christmas time? Well, that's why, because in order to honor her for her commitment to the people, she passed away on Christmas Eve, and to do that. And so, but what an example, church, of somebody who knew the difficulties that she was going to face, but yet she still went and did it anyway. And that's honorable by any means, right? Bearing the name of the, you know, Israel here, you see in the scripture there, it says, Paul says, it is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chains. Church, we are bound with the hope of not only Israel, but we're bound with the hope of the world. We have the answer in Jesus Christ. And it is up to us to share that hope with people that we come in contact with. Some of that conversation could be just an introduction, just getting to know them, building a relationship with them. But it's all to share that hope that we have, that you and I have, not only of Israel, but the hope that the whole world has, right? That's a big burden to bear, but you may say this morning, Pastor John, I don't want to do that. I'm not comfortable sharing the gospel. That's a burden that's too big for me. I don't want to bear that burden. That's too difficult. I don't know how to do that. I've never been trained. I don't have the ability to speak well. Join the club. I don't either, right? But God wants us to bear that burden. And I want to share this with you this morning. If we think that burden that Paul bore, and that you and I are called to bear too, if we think that burden's too big for us, let's go back to the cross and let's remember the burden that Jesus Christ wore for us. I want to take you back, and I want to use the old hymn. I think it tells a story, and it says this. It says, when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I can scarce take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin, right? That great hymn of the faith, right? Jesus took our burden and he died on the cross. Can we not pick up the burden and continue to share the gospel with other people? And again, to realize that we are bound with this burden, just as Paul was. And if we know that, church, we continue to march forward. We continue to chip away in the conversations we have with our coworkers, with our neighbors, with our family members. We keep going. We don't give up. We continue to share the hope that God has shown us for the rest of the world. All right, secondly, on your outline there, I want you to see this morning that not only do we need to understand the burden that we carry and we share, but also that people are open to the gospel, but it is going to take effort on our part. People are open to the gospel, are they not? Do you believe that this morning? I know we live in a time in our world where it's like, I don't know, man, I just get told to be quiet and keep my faith to myself. But church, that's a lie from the devil. I'm here to tell you this morning, people are still open to hearing the gospel message. We've been told and we've been brainwashed, if you will, by sometimes the media and social media to, you know, oh, you can have your faith, but just keep it private. And that's the devil trying to stifle the message of the gospel here. But I'm telling you this morning, people are still open to the gospel. Look in the scripture here. Paul got to to Rome and invited these Jews over who had never heard the gospel. And so he began to explain to them. Let me read to you verse 22 and 23 again so you can see this. It says, this is their response. It says, but we want to hear you, what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect. So they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day, and they came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. So there was a smaller group, and they're like, okay, we're going to come back on Thursday. We'll be there at 6 o'clock, and they brought even more people with them. That tells you right there that there were people who were curious, who were thirsty to understand what Paul was talking about. This new Jewish sect, if you will, or Christianity, the people of the way, had started making some waves from Jerusalem on out, and all the way in Rome now, where Paul was, people had heard about this, but maybe they hadn't gotten the full picture yet, right? And so they're curious about it. People want to know that. I love what it says there in verse 23. Did you catch it? It says, all day long from morning till noon that Paul, he sat there and explained who Jesus was. And it says that he used the Old Testament, the Moses and the prophets to explain who he was talking about, right? And so he spent the time to do that. This wasn't a 2-minute conversation over text. We are so spoiled today in our instant gratification society, are we not? We have this culture of a microwave. I want my popcorn. I get upset. I love popcorn at the night. It's one of my favorite night snacks, right? Here's a pro tip for you. Take your microwave popcorn, mix it with some cheese balls. There you go. That's good stuff right there. All right. But man, I get upset. I get mad when I got to wait 2 minutes and 10 seconds for my popcorn to get popped, you know? I'm not even thinking about 40, 50 years ago when you had to do it the old way, right? You put it in the pan, cover the pan, you got to keep it down or else the popcorn's shooting out all over the floor and all that. So, you know, now it's all in a nice bag and it's all buttered for you and everything, right? You know? But man, we are so uptight about, you know, the speed of everything. And church, you can't rush sharing the gospel with people. You can't say, well, you know what, God, I've got 5 minutes on Thursday afternoon at 3:30. I'll share the gospel then if I find somebody. You know, that can't be our attitude when it comes to finding people open to the gospel. And we've got to make sure that we're not even, I want to say, carving out time to share the gospel, but we're giving God the time to do that in our life. Maybe, just maybe. Maybe we don't binge watch a show on Netflix for 4 hours. We maybe share the gospel with somebody. We get out. We go do something like that. Maybe we don't play computer games for 3 hours. Maybe we don't decorate the house to the infinite degree and get everything just pitch perfect. But do we put time in that in our life, in our daily or weekly schedules to spend time sharing the gospel with people who are open and also giving them the time to ask questions and to have conversation with people. But again, that's one of the things we fight so much in our American schedule first kind of culture. It is something, but church, Paul spent the time. You say, well, he was under house arrest. He couldn't do anything else. Okay, true. You got me there. But do we take the time? Paul could have just said, you know what? I'm just going to close my house, close the curtains, close the shutters, and just wait for my time to stand before Nero. But he didn't do that. He used the time that God gave him under house arrest to share the gospel with anybody and everybody that he could do that with. And I think that's important for us to do. It takes effort on our part, church, to share the gospel. First we have to find the people who are open, and that's not easy because not everybody's open to hearing the gospel. But so it takes having conversations with people. But secondly, after we find them, then we have to build a relationship with them. Sometimes people are not primed and ready to hear the gospel yet. They need to kind of, if you will, get some background information. They need to understand that they can trust you before you even have a say in their life. So not only do you have to find the people, you have to you have to build a relationship with them, but you've also got to live as an example before people today. People are less trusting, especially of Christians, because of the temperature and the climate in which we live. We live in a time now where Christianity is seen as bad. You are harmful, right? You know, we're the cause. You're the ones that bring trauma into the life of other people, right? That's what's been put out there. And so for you and I to live before people as an example, that takes time. It's 20, 30 years ago, man, you could go up on a door. Hey, I'm John from Westside. How are you doing? Can I come in and talk to you a minute? And within like 15 minutes, I could be in a gospel conversation with somebody in their own home. You can't do that today. I mean, it's a different time. There are still some people you can do that with, but the percentages are much smaller, right? But again, we have to keep looking. We have to continue. But we have to make the effort to build a relationship with people, to live as an example before people. And then when God leads us, whether that's a week, a month, whenever it is, that's when we share the gospel with people. Whenever the Holy Spirit prompts us to do that, that's when we do that. Here's a couple of examples. Think about this. Imagine a baker who gives somebody a muffin every morning or some donuts or whatever it might be. Think about the time it might take for that baker, whoever it might be, to write a scripture down on the napkin or something and put that before that person. There are some businesses that do that today. They print scriptures on their cups or their fries or whatever, but that's an impact. But think about the personal touch of a handwritten note or a scripture like that. If you were to do that with somebody over the long haul, maybe it's just a friend you have at work, and you bring them a coffee every morning. You think about a scripture on your drive to work. You know what? I'm going to write Philippians 4:13 or something on there. And you write the scripture and you give that. And you never know the impact that verse might have in their life. It might be a month later, like, does Starbucks write this on there? Or are you writing that on there? And then it might open up a conversation with somebody about the scriptures that you're putting on there. Maybe they're secretly looking up the scriptures when you don't even know it. That's just an idea, right? Something to consider. But just doing something on a continual basis like that might give that person, open up the door for the gospel with them. Let me share another historic example with you this morning is a guy named John Chapman. How many of you have ever heard of John Chapman? I didn't think so. How about Johnny Appleseed? Now, one of you are like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. John Chapman, a.k.a. Johnny Appleseed, right? I remember learning about him in elementary school, was a evangelist who went around the country giving and planting apple orchards and planting apple trees. That was his shtick, right? He became known as Johnny Appleseed, but he was an evangelist at heart. And he shared the gospel as often as he could, but he became known for the apples and the apple orchards and planting. It is estimated that Johnny Appleseed spent about 45 years sharing the gospel and planting apples. It is estimated that he crisscrossed the country about over 100,000 square miles of the United States, covered many of our northeastern and north states there, planting these apples. But people would come to hear him and to see him because of what he was doing continually. And so that's just another example, church, of how you and I, again, it takes effort, but if we're willing to continually do something to open up gospel conversations with our coworkers, our neighbors, our family, it will make a big impact. So think about Johnny Appleseed, if you will, there. So he did that into his 70s, ultimately passed away in his 70s, doing what he loved to do, sharing the gospel, planting apple trees there. So church, this morning, my question to you is simply this. What effort are we willing to do to put in to share the gospel with people, to open up, to have conversations with people? It may take looking at our schedules, pulling out our planners and say, you know what? I've got way too much on my schedule that's me-centered. What can I do for the Lord? What can I do? How can I get out there? How can I open up conversations with more people and share the gospel there? So think about that. Ponder that this week. Finally, number three on your outline there, people are open to the gospel, but it's going to take effort. But then also know this, church, there are people that will always reject the gospel. And when they do, guess what? We keep moving. We keep going. If someone rejects the gospel, I want you to know, you have to understand this, church. There are people who will accept it as well, right? Don't get discouraged when you put in a lot of effort. Think about Paul here. He spent all day long with these people in his home, yet some of them rejected what he said. That's not on him. Paul was obedient. He did what God called him to do, but yet some people rejected him. It said that some wanted to hear more and accepted it, but many of those people that Paul spent that time with said, no, I don't believe that, and they walked away from it. It's the same way, church, in our life today, too. Look what Paul said here in verse 28. He shares this passage from Isaiah chapter 6, the commissioning of Isaiah there, and he kind of wipes the dust off, if you will, of his feet here. And look at verse 28. He says, therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. That was Paul's calling on his life as a missionary. God had called him to be a missionary to the Gentiles. The Jews, some of them had believed. Some of them accepted the message and trusted in faith in Christ Jesus. But many did not. And the calling that God put on Paul's life was to go to the Gentiles, the others, that would be open for the gospel. And church, I want to tell you the same thing this morning. You may spend a lot of effort talking with somebody, a friend, a coworker, a best friend, a family member, and you feel like, man, it's falling on deaf ears. Number one, keep going. You never know. No one knows when they will accept it or not, right? But don't get discouraged and don't get downhearted. When people reject the gospel, continue to look for other people that are open. And that's all we're going to do. Paul finished well. We don't know really, perhaps, what happened to Paul. It's not in the Bible. These are the last words that we read right here in verse 30 and 31. It says, for two whole years, Paul stayed there on his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him boldly. Without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the last we hear about Paul in the Bible from the book of Acts here. But we can ascertain from history pretty confidently what did happen to Paul. There are many early church fathers that wrote about Paul and his death. I want to share a couple of Clement of Rome, who wrote in 96 AD, wrote that Paul and Peter were both martyred for their faith. This is outside extra-biblical history that we have here. Eusebius of Caesarea specifically mentioned that Paul was beheaded in Rome. And this is someone who lived just decades after Paul, and kind of noted that there are more, and if you want to get into that, I'll be glad to share those resources with you. But church, Paul finished well. You may say, wait a minute, it didn't really turn out good for him if he was beheaded. I would disagree with that. Paul finished well because he was obedient to what God called him to do, the calling that God put on his life to continue to share the gospel until his last breath, right? And that's the most important thing for us to see here. Paul finished well. Church, my question for you this morning is simply this. Will you and I finish well? Well, do we have what it takes? Do we have the understanding to know, man, we're bound with the gospel, and it's not an easy burden to bear. But despite the burden being bound by a metaphorical chain, I'm going to continue to share the gospel and to do what God has called me to do. Do we understand that this morning? Church, have we given up? Have we gotten frustrated with the culture in which we live and we think that they're too closed and they're not listening to us? I want to encourage this morning, keep it up. And I want to also question and ask you, how much effort are we putting into it? You know, the Bible does speak about the effort in which we sow seeds with, right, is what we will get out of it, right? Some of us might be tricking ourselves today to think, well, I share the gospel, I try maybe two times a month. And is that the extent of what we think our effort is? I just want to ask you this morning to consider your effort this morning. Are we willing to do the hard work, Christians? Are we willing to do the hard work? How will you and I finish when it comes to our lives? Will we finish well this morning? People will reject the gospel. Don't take it personal. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the message that God has given you to share. They're ultimately rejecting Jesus. As we come to a close this morning, I want to ask you where you're at. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been rejecting the gospel. Maybe you're here in church, in a Christian church, and you know about Jesus, and you've heard the stories, and you know about the things in the Bible, but yet you are still hesitant to trust Christ for yourself. Is there anybody here today that maybe fits that profile? I want to plead with you this morning. It's not enough, church. It's not enough, folks, to know about Jesus and to know facts in our head. The Bible calls us to trust Christ, to place our faith in him. And if you've never done that and you're here this morning, I want to plead with you to turn your life over to Christ, to trust him as Savior and as Lord this morning. And I want to help you with that. If you're here this morning and you're like I was when I was 13 years old, I'd gone to church all my life. I knew all the Bible stories. I knew who Jesus was. I knew David and Moses and everybody. But there was one thing I lacked, and that was a personal relationship with God in a walk with the Lord, because I did not trust him. I knew the facts. But if you're here this morning, and maybe that's you, I want to help you with that. Let today be the day that you stop rejecting Jesus, and you say, today's the day I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. I want him to come into my life to help me. And if that's you this morning, I want to help you by doing a sinner's prayer, if you will. I'm going to say a couple of words, and if you would like to ask Christ to come in your life, would you just repeat these words to yourself? I just want to ask everybody to bow your heads. Nobody please getting up right now. talking or anything. If you're here this morning and you want to ask Christ to come in your life, you can do that through a simple prayer. It's not the words that make it happen. It's your heart. It's your desire. If you want to, you want the Lord to come into your life and you want to trust him by faith, you can do that this morning. Let me help you with that by saying this prayer. You can repeat it after me. Say, "Dear God, I know that you love me. I also believe that I'm a sinner. Today, God, I'm coming to you. I want to turn from my sin. Help me to place my faith, my trust in you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen." In a minute, we're going to have our, what we call it, invitation time. We're going to sing one more song. It's a time for you to respond, to reflect. If you prayed that prayer today and asked Christ to come into your life, or maybe it was a month ago, would you have the courage just to come down here and just shake my hand and say, "Hey, Pastor John, I prayed that prayer today. Now what? Help me." I'll be glad. I just want to share a couple of things with you. I'm not going to make you make a speech or anything like that, but we just want to help you in your new faith as you walk with Christ this morning. For others of you, maybe that's a decision you've made. It's in the past. It's settled. Jesus is your Savior. He's your Lord. Where are you at, church? Are you here? Have we kind of given up hope? Have we not been putting forth the effort to finish well in our faith? Is it time for something to change? Is it time for our attitude to change? Maybe we just needed to understand that being a Christian is not for wimps. Being a Christian takes knowing that we are bound with a chain that we bear because of our faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know where you're at this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and we're going to sing one more song. If you feel the Lord is calling you to step out this morning and to profess your faith in Christ, I want to encourage you to come down. If you want to come down and just pray at the altar this morning, you're welcome to do that. If you feel like Westside is a place where you need to place your family, your life as a member here, we'd be glad to have you. And I'll talk to you more about that. But this is the time for you to talk with the Lord and to see what he is leading you to do right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come to you this morning. Lord, thank you for an opportunity to share the gospel, to share with these people this morning. Lord, I pray that your word will not go out and come back void, Lord, but that it will accomplish and it will do what it is intended to do, Lord. Lord, if we need to step out of the pew this morning and make a decision to trust you, or if we need to step out of the pew and come down here and pray, I pray that we will be obedient to what you have called us to do. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.